Thanks for listening to Total Information AM here on KMOX. I'm Megan Lynch. Since 1996, 72 football players have died from exertional heat stroke. That includes 52 high school, 15 college, 2 organized youth, and 1 middle school athlete. What should you know as a parent? As we head into fall sports this year, we are joined by Dr. Rebecca Stearns. She is with the National Center for Catastrophic Injury Research. Dr. Stearns, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Talk about how you see extreme heat impacting athletes more and more as the decades roll on.
Yes. So in terms of extreme heat, we know that heat is definitely one of the major factors in terms of the risk for athletes suffering from an exertional heat illness. And so really what we're seeing is that as we have hotter days and hotter exposures and athletes are participating in hot weather events like football or other fall activities, we know that there's going to be a greater risk for heat illnesses. And so certainly this year we've already seen a number of exertional heat stroke deaths in the high school level.
Do we wrongly assume because, you know, young people are fit and they're just young that they're not at risk?
Right. Yeah, that's a very common assumption. And the interesting thing is, you know, there are certainly risk factors that can affect other populations that may have other comorbidities or disease states. But in terms of the athlete level, athletes are actually uniquely at risk because some of them are so fit that they're able to push themselves to these extreme levels. And so fitness, actually, and the ability to really exercise at a high intensity level can actually drive up body temperature faster than many other things. So being able to, or participating in extreme or extremely intense exercise bouts of activity can drive body temperature up, which puts athletes at risk for the most extreme condition, which is an exertional heat stroke, which is life-threatening.
Dr. Stearns, do you feel like you've seen any better awareness of this among especially high schools and how they have shifted their programs?
Yeah, I think there's really good news in this area in that we've seen an uptick in the conversation and discussion around health and safety for exertional heat illnesses in the athlete population. And so at the high school level specifically, in many states across the country, we've seen additional and new policies, health and safety policies, specific to those items that have been effective at curbing exertional heat illnesses or treating the exertional heat illnesses when they happen. So we're very excited, and a lot of those are in the Southeast where we see the majority of heat illness cases happening. So we do think that there is additional health and safety protections that have been put in place in the last number of years. But of course, we still need to be very, very regimented with our treatment and our care of our athletes to avoid any, you know, future incidences. As I said, we've already had deaths happen this year.
Do you think it's to the point where we need to push some of these sports seasons further into the fall so that they can take advantage of cooler weather?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point of the conversation, right? So if we push them later into the year, certainly we can open the opportunity for cooler periods. We know that July and August are the 2 months of the year that have the highest number of exertional heat stroke deaths for athletes, and that's because those are the 2 hottest months. So I think that pushing or maybe finding other opportunities for cooler periods to have athletes participate is probably a really effective strategy in conjunction with many others, because we do have other strategies that have been proven effective as well. And certainly heat, while it is one of the major factors that I alluded to earlier that can increase risk, it's not the only factor. And we do still see heat illnesses even in cooler weather as low as, you know, 60 and 70 degrees.
For parents that are listening right now, what do they need to do to be able to advocate for their athletes this fall?
That's a great question. So there's a few things that we always advocate for. In terms of the prevention side, the things I would check specifically with your high school where your athlete is participating, I would ask them if they follow heat acclimatization protocols. And heat acclimatization is simply just the progressive introduction of exercise in the heat, which allows things like the introduction of equipment, the duration of exercise, the amount of exercise that happens in a day so that it's in a progressive manner. So they should be following national standards in terms of heat acclimatization. Second, they should be following standards related to wet bulb globe temperature, or WBGT, which is a metric of heat stress. In terms of modifications that should happen on days that are hot and uniquely hot that pose additional risk for those athletes. So having both of those policies in place are great in terms of reducing the risk. But if a heat stroke does happen, it's really important to have policies in place that have been proven to save those athletes' lives, and specifically having cold water immersion, ice water in a tub on site so that treatment can be provided on site prior to transport to the hospital, because the most important thing is going to be reducing that athlete's body temperature as soon as possible, specifically within the first roughly 20 to 30 minutes. And because of that timeline, we really need to be setting them up to be treated on site.
Dr. Stearns, thank you so much. Really appreciate your insights today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
That is Dr. Rebecca Stearns, Exertional Division Director for the National Center for Catastrophic Sport Injury Research.